We turn in our Bibles now to John's Gospel and chapter 14. I'm going to take a few minutes to reflect upon the last of our church values. But before I do that, we're going to read from John 14. You find this on page 1082. And this particular passage in John's Gospel, Jesus has just told his disciples that he is about to leave them, or he's going to leave them, anticipating that the response of the authorities to the life of love and mercy and justice that Jesus lives, the response of the authorities will be to seek to get rid of Jesus, to kill him. And Jesus is aware of this. And he's told his disciples he will not always be with them. But he says in John 14:1, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you are going. So how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Amen. And we pray that what we have read may become for us the living Word of God. Amen. So today is the last in this short series between Easter and Pentecost, reflecting on our church values. Why do we have church values? We have church values because we recognize we're all very different people from very different perspectives. And we recognize that as we seek together to figure out what on earth it means to follow Jesus in our lives together, our responses may be very different. We will all have very different concerns. We won't agree all the time. And we don't actually ask people to agree. Have you heard about disagreeing well? Yeah? Being disagreeable, but doing it well. And that's what we recognize is a good way to live. Sometimes it's a difficult way to live because it seems so much easier if we all agreed. If you disagree, you can leave, and everybody here agrees. It's much easier, it seems. And yet the richer family life that we have, if we say this is not about precise agreement, it is about living to certain values, disagreeing well, but seeking to make that journey of following Jesus together in a positive and blessed way. And our focus today is upon the sixth of our church values: Jesus welcome, community, inclusive involvement, and journey. And just in case the words on the right there are too small, this is what it says. Together, we make a spiritual journey to discover Jesus and to make sense of him. Together, we make a spiritual journey to discover Jesus and to make sense of him. And I've said many times, I've spoken about my spiritual journey. I was blessed in many ways to be brought up in a home, in a family where my parents believed in God and took us to church. And my grandparents believed in God, and they also went to church. And yet the reality is, as if you were brought up in a Christian home, The reality is you can take it for granted and never really come to know Jesus for yourself. And it's always something that your parents have kind of given to you, but it's not real for you. But I know for myself, when I was 12 years old, so many years ago now, but when I was 12 years old, I had, I don't know what I recall, an awakening, the penny dropped, something happened when I was 12. And I knew I had, from that moment, to follow Jesus. And I gave my life to Jesus that November lunchtime when I was 12 years old. And I've said as well that I've given my life to Jesus many times. It's not just a one-off, but I give my life back again and again and again to Jesus. And I say on a regular basis that I recommit myself to him on my journey, because I journey with Jesus and I know he's with me. But so often I falter on my path. Isn't that? Maybe I'm the only one. I don't suppose I am. But I falter on my journey. And I get distracted and other things take priority and I change my mind and all sorts of things go on. And journey is so important to us as we seek to live our lives, our spiritual lives, our lives together. And journey is important because it speaks of something that is unfinished. In the process of becoming, it's provisional and it's open. And that speaks certainly of my spiritual journey, my Christian faith. It is unfinished. It is unfinished. I haven't got it all sewn up. I really haven't got it all. I know it may look like it sometimes, but I haven't. It really isn't sewn up. It is unfinished. It is incomplete. I am in a process of becoming. And I've used the expression before that I may not be who I ought to be, but at least I'm not who I used to be. I'm in the process of becoming. And my life right now is provisional. This is what I believe now. I might change my mind. And that might surprise you, but I've changed my mind lots. I was brought up with a particular set of beliefs, and I've changed my mind on many of them. And I think differently. And it's normal for us to do that, in the sense of when we are young, we tend to see things in two dimensionals as flats. And it's very straightforward, black and white. But as we grow in our faith, as we journey in life and we journey in our faith of following Jesus, then we realize faith is not two-dimensional, it's three-dimensional, or four, or five, however many dimensions we want. And we begin to see things differently. We look at things differently. And sometimes we go through challenges in our lives. And what we thought was so settled in terms of our understanding of ourselves or our God or God or faith, we go through challenges and we go, hang on, it's not as straightforward as I thought it was. I had it all sorted. So what I was so committed to, I realise, is provisional. And it may change, it may grow. And so that last word, open. Open. I am open to growth. I am open to change. And all that I have just described is true of a healthy relationship. All of what I've just described is true of a healthy relationship. Every healthy relationship is unfinished. It's in the process of becoming. It's provisional where you are. You're not going to stay there. You will grow and develop and change. And it's open. Open to whatever happens in the future. So this idea of this value of journey is important to us as together we make a spiritual journey and discover Jesus. and we make a spiritual journey to discover Jesus and seek to make sense of him. So we seek to discover Jesus. We seek to discover Jesus together. And this goes back to the words of Jesus early in the Gospels, where Jesus, on one occasion, we're told, was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee. And as Jesus walked along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he sees a couple of fishermen, Peter and Andrew. And he says to them, "Come, follow me." And surprisingly, perhaps, I don't know whether they were bored or restless or looking for something else, when they heard those words from Jesus, "Come, follow me," we're told immediately they put down the nets that they were mending. They got up and followed Jesus. And then further along, as the three of them walked, they came across John and James. Again, the words are spoken, "Come, follow me." And again, whether they were tired, bored, restless, maybe they were intrigued, excited by the possibility of something new, when they heard the words, "Come, follow me," Jesus now had 4 disciples. And so it went on. Jesus is walking down a road with those who were following him at that point, and they come across a man who was a tax collector. His name was Levi, and he's sitting in his tax collector's booth. And tax collectors were not liked. And the problem with tax collectors was you would have, in the land of Judea, you'd have somebody who was native to Judea. And yet the Romans had invaded and they ruled, and it was their values over the land, and the Romans wanted to collect taxes. And they didn't want to do it themselves, so they would get Judeans to do it for them. But for many, if you worked for the Romans, you were seen as a traitor, and Levi was one of them. He collected taxes for the Romans. And as Jesus walked down the road, he spots Levi at his tax collector's booth. And he says, "Levi, come follow me." And immediately, Levi leaves and follows Jesus. And that call comes to each one of us. And it doesn't really matter who we are, and it doesn't matter where we are in our lives. We may be like the fishermen mending their nets. We may be like Levi, who was in the middle of his job. It doesn't matter who we are, whether we feel we're at the beginning of our lives or at the end of our lives, whether we have a sense of fulfillment and success, or whether we feel we are failing. The words of Jesus come to each one of us. "Come, follow me. Come, journey with me. Journey with me. Together we'll make sense of life." There's that wonderful story that is told in Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. It's the day of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. It's Easter Day. And there are 2 people who, we are told, are walking from Jerusalem to their home village of Emmaus. And if you measure it out, it's about 7 miles. It's not a great distance, but it's quite a way if you're going to walk 7 miles. And they were walking between Jerusalem and Emmaus. And as they walk together, this couple, they're talking together. And a third person on that path joins them. And the third person says to them, what are you talking about? And they begin to say, "Well, there's this guy, Jesus. We put our hope in Jesus. We hoped he was going to change the world. And yet he's been crucified, dead, buried. The end of all our hopes that we had placed in him. But the weird thing is, this couple say, some of our women have started reporting that they have seen this Jesus alive. And they're kind of puzzling. The very one we'd hoped in is certainly dead, but we're getting these reports. What is going on? And that third character who's joined them begins talking with them, their companion on the journey, explaining things, answering questions, offering suggestions, all sorts of things together. And they journey together all the way to the village of Emmaus. And the three of them go in and have a meal or begin a meal together. And there's a particular extraordinary moment in that meal when the couple who were originally on the road realized the third one was Jesus, the living one, the one who'd been raised from the dead. And they're a little confused, how did we not know? But the wonderful thing about that story is that just as Jesus says to us, come, follow me, he also says, I will accompany you always through your life. You may not know I am with you, but I will be with you always. I will be your companion. I will be by your side, whether you're going through the good things or the bad things, whether it's hope or sorrow, I will be with you. Come, follow me, says Jesus. And as we journey with Jesus, as he is our companion and we follow after him, what we seek to do is pay attention to him. We pay attention to his life and his teaching. And this is why, yes, I do say it over and over again. This is why I encourage folk to pay particular attention as we read the Bible, pay particular attention to the Gospels, to pay particular attention to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Because there we read of the stories about Jesus, what he was like, what he said, how he responds, what his relationships are like, how he deals with difficulty and with trial and turmoil. We pay attention to his life and his teaching. And we say, well, we're following Jesus, so we need to know about him. We need to know what he said, what he taught. We need to figure out, how do I take the life of Jesus and imbibe it into my life? How do I take the teaching of Jesus that was so often then and today is countercultural and challenging? How do I take that and bring it into my life? And sometimes we have to change our lives and change the focus of our lives and the direction of our lives if we are going to make a good journey with Jesus. Jesus said, come follow me, and we learn from him. And today, well, particularly this week, as I was preparing this reflection, particularly I felt I want to focus, or I just want to make mention of these things, that as we follow Jesus, we discover who God is. As we follow Jesus, we discover who God is. One time I was in school, a school with a classroom of kids, and I delivered whatever lesson it was that I'd been asked to deliver. And then there was question time, and that's always the best bit of the lesson, for me anyway. It's really interesting where young people's minds go. What is God like? Have you seen God? What is God like? I've never seen God, but I can tell you what he's like. He's like Jesus. God is like Jesus. If you want to know what God is like, we have to sometimes clear away all loads of images we have of God. And we have to say, God is like Jesus. Jesus is a perfect representation of God. God is like Jesus. And as we follow Jesus, we discover exactly that. We discover that God is our Father. God is a Father. And that's why I read the words from John 14, verse 7. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus says to us, come follow me. And as you follow me, as you walk in my way, you'll discover that God, you may think he is judge, he is harsh, he's difficult, he wants to punish me for all I've done wrong. What I want you to know, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If you walk with me, you will discover God is Father. God is Father. And that's such a beautiful thing. God is Father. And God as Father is good. And God is love. The essence of God is love. If we were able to track down the DNA of God, his essential being, what would it be? It would be love. God is love. God cannot do anything that is not love. And if we see anything happening in the world, and people say, oh, that's God, that's God. If it is not love, it's not God. Because God cannot do anything that is not love, because he is love. And God is love. God is kind. And that's what we discover. And it has taken me years. And this is a work in progress. This is a work in progress. This journey of discovering, as I follow Jesus, discovering who God is and what he is like. And so we journey together to discover Jesus and to make sense of him. To make sense of him. And as we make this journey to make sense of Jesus, this is about how does this work in the modern world? What difference does it make to my life today? And it is about life. It is about purpose. It is about flourishing. Jesus said on one occasion, and we see it in John's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 10, I have come that they may have life. Life in all its fullness. Life in all its fullness, a life that is flourishing, that is good. That's why I've come, that you might experience life. Life with a real sense of purpose. A life, to give you a life whereby you flourish as a human being, where you become the best version of yourself, where you become the person God created you to be. And you say, well, surely that's me right now. No, it's not. You're becoming that person. And there are all sorts of things in our lives we have to acknowledge, all that we've done, that are not conducive to our flourishing. There are all sorts of decisions we've made that have been against us. And there are things we need to change. There are things we confess to God and say, I've messed up there. I need your forgiveness. Because I know you've come that I might have life and purpose and flourishing. And we confess what the Bible calls sin. That's all our failings to God. Because we want, as we follow Jesus, and this is an increasing sense within us as we follow Jesus, we want more and more that life and purpose and flourishing. And that's where we make sense of him, as we apply the life and teaching of Jesus to our lives. And so this is our value of journey. This is our value of journey. Together, we make a spiritual journey to discover Jesus and to make sense of him. And today, I would encourage each one of us to continue on that journey. It may be that today, there's a sense in which we have to say, I'm not sure I've ever really been on that journey or aware of that journey. It may be that today we need to say, I'm going to begin that journey. Whatever it takes, I'm going to step out on that journey. I'm going to follow Jesus. It may be that today we acknowledge, I've begun that journey, but I think I've got a bit lost. I've got distracted. Maybe today we need to go, I really need to get back on track. I need to confess to God my need of Him and say, God, you're a good Father. You're loving and kind and merciful. Will you help me to follow Jesus? And it may be that today we simply affirm the journey we're on and we say we've begun, we're continuing, but it's not finished. And we pray for God's help. God's help, because the journey sometimes really tough, but we journey supporting and encouraging and blessing one another. Let's pray together. And so we take a moment for each one of us to make our own personal response to God. God loves you. God loves you and God knows you. There's nothing hidden in us from God. But God comes to us and says, I know you and I love you. And gives to us an open invitation today to follow Jesus, to journey, to discover life and purpose and flourishing, to be all that God intended. Father, help us. Help us to fix our thoughts and our eyes upon Jesus. Father, help us if we're just beginning, if we're coming back, if we're continuing. Father, help us. Help us to journey together and follow Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.